If you had just been released after 3 years on Alabama's death row, what would be first on your to-do list?
Well, hug my kids and family and...
Randall Paget lives in Guntersville.
Touch a tree, touch some grass. I think a tree was the first thing. Well, no, I had to walk across the grass to get to the tree.
Paget was convicted for the murder of his estranged wife in 1990. He was exonerated 7 years later. As a free man, you might think Paget has every reason to be happy. He's not.
Lost my home and 32 acres of land, my job, and probably between me and my family, probably spent $200,000 on attorneys.
All for something an Alabama jury says he didn't do.
Well, it's destroyed him.
That's attorney Richard Jaffe. He won Paget's freedom. In his law office in Birmingham, Jaffe has a lot to say about Alabama's policy on compensating people who were sent to prison for crimes they didn't commit. He's not a fan.
Well, Alabama's reparations law is completely impossible to... It might as well not exist.
We'll talk more about that in just a moment. First, here's how Paget wound up on death row to begin with. It started with a phone call.
I get on the phone and call my brother. I said, well, what happened? He said, all I know is there's a knife involved. So then I just got physically ill. I vomited twice, I think, and that's how I found out.
Paget's wife, Kathy, had been stabbed 46 times. Her body was found in their home in the town of Arab. They were separated at the time. Where Paget made his phone call didn't help matters. He was having an affair, and he was with the other woman. Prosecutors claimed Paget's DNA was found on the body at the crime scene. Attorney Richard Jaffe says there was just one problem with the state's case.
It was a huge blunder, for sure.
DNA taken from the crime scene was tested to establish blood type. The result was a match for Paget. Before the trial, the sample was tested again. The second result was a different blood type that didn't match Paget. He thought that alone would clear him.
Well, I'd seen stories about people getting convicted of something they didn't do. I guess I thought, well, that'll never happen to me. I don't know.
But it did. The jury found Paget guilty of murder. What's worse, the judge overruled the jury's recommendation of life in prison. Paget says his first night on death row let him know what he was in for.
About midnight, there was two guys talking up above me in adjoining cells, I presumed. It sounded like a white guy and a black guy. And so finally the black guy tells the other one, says, well, let's just psych out, you know, let's have a word of prayer. So he said this beautiful prayer. And I thought, man, this might not be such a bad place, you know. So the black guy, I guess, is trying to get him to end his prayer. And he says something about, let's have a moment of silence. And then the white guy, are you making fun of me, you black SOB? And then this starts cussing like a sailor after saying that beautiful prayer for so long. And I know where your mama lives, and I'm going to have her killed. And I know where your cousin lives, and I'm going to have her killed. And so then I said, this is a bad place.
The state never signed a death warrant for Paget, but four other men he knew at Atmore Prison weren't as lucky. Vernell Weeks was executed in 1995. Paget recalls how Weeks' final hours were marked by a death row tradition. A prison trustee made his way from cell to cell.
He was collecting up a bag full of goodies for Vernell to, like, have a party before, you know, candy, people throwing potato chips and candy in there. And I'm thinking, man, that guy don't want to have no party, you know. He knows they're going to kill him tonight.
Paget was set free 2 years later. Attorney Richard Jaffe.
I've never figured out whether it was a blunder, an accident, was it on purpose? Was it sneaky? I've scratched my head on that, and to this day I have no idea what the reason for it was.
Jaffe's referring to the botched DNA evidence from Paget's original trial. In 1995, the Alabama Court of Criminal Appeals ruled the prosecution hid those DNA results from the defense. A new trial was ordered, and that jury found Paget not guilty. Now, let's get back to his money problems.
Randall was doing pretty decently on the chicken farm, and he lost that.
Richard Jaffe.
He had legal fees to his original lawyers, the appeal or whatever. He had legal fees to us, and he lost the chicken farm, and he's never really gotten on his feet economically, financially.
In 2001, the Alabama legislature passed the Compensation for Wrongful Incarceration Act. Exonerees were supposed to get $50,000 for each year they spent in prison. Padgett applied in 2003. The state said no.
Not guilty is not innocent, according to the state of Alabama, which I don't understand what's the definition of guilty, you know. And if you're not guilty, are you not innocent?
Apparently not. A quick check of the Alabama Code leads to Section 29-2-161. That's the law to pay people for wrongful incarceration. It says the charges have to be dismissed because the defendant was totally innocent.
It's very hard to prove a negative.
Attorney Richard Jaffe is talking about providing absolute proof of innocence. He says it's tougher than it sounds.
I see one way that someone could take advantage of it, and that is if there was absolute 100% clear DNA and somebody was, say, in Alaska, and you could put those two facts together, and that the person could probably prevail under the law.
And for people like Padgett, the burden of proof falls on them. Also, it's unlikely that Richard Jaffe or any other attorney could help argue the case. The Wrongful Incarceration Act prevents any money from a state settlement to going to pay legal fees.
I'm doing well. I know.
Anyone who wants payment for wrongful jail time has to go to the state capitol in Montgomery. Alabama has a committee to hear claims, and Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh is on that panel. He says it comes with the title.
I could put a designee on there. I could step away from this. But I do think it's something we have to look, give serious consideration to. And if something's, if somebody has been wronged, then we want to, as a state, to do all we can to make it right.
But along with this justice-for-all attitude, Marsh says the question of innocence always comes up.
The fact is they could be wrongly incarcerated in some cases, not because they were innocent, but because of a procedure.
And even if there's a legitimate claim, Marsh says there's another question to be asked before the state pulls out its checkbook.
Was there something that happened on the local level where the, I'm not, but it could be a case where the prosecutor maybe, for instance, didn't provide evidence they should have provided. You know, at what point is it more of a local responsibility than the state's responsibility?
And even if Marsh and his committee members say the state should pay, the legislature has to set aside the money, and it's not legally required to do that. So far, Alabama's track record on this speaks for itself. In the 15 years since the passage of the Wrongful Incarceration Act, only one case has resulted in payment. It wasn't Randall Padgett's.
I ain't asking for $1 million, but I'd like to be put back to where I was.
Padgett hopes his case doesn't end up like the one that did result in compensation. That defendant died a year before the claim was settled. The money went to his family. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Guntersville.